My guest at this time is Peter Sepp, the Executive Vice President of the National Taxpayers Union, the largest grassroots taxpayer organization in the country. His organization, as you might imagine, very closely following the president's proposal to pay for his new jobs bill, as well as reduce the deficit a little bit through what he calls, the president that is, the rich paying their fair share. We want to get some analysis now from Pete and also hear what his members are saying. And Pete, it's always good to have you with us.
Always a pleasure to be here.
Let's talk about what's technically fair and what's being billed as fair here. In reality, how much of the nation's income each year does the group that the president wants to raise taxes on here bring in, and how much of the tax burden do they already pay?
Well, there are really two groups the president is talking about in the main, the first being the top 1.5% of earners making $200,000 or more if they're single, $250,000 or more if they're couples. Well, that share of income earners, let's keep it at the top 1%, accounts for about 20% of all the adjusted gross income that the IRS reports in its statistics, and almost 40% of the federal income taxes. So they're pulling roughly twice their share in taxes as they account for in income. Now, if you shift to millionaires, this is another part of the president's proposal, a millionaire surtax or the Buffett rule, as it's being called. The specifics really are not in place, but if there were to be additional taxes on those reporting $1 million worth of income to the IRS, well, they account for, depending on what measurement you use, somewhere around 10% of the income and somewhere around 20% of the income tax. So there again, the millionaires as an overall class are still pulling about twice their load relative to what they earn.
So if a politician, whether it's the president or a presidential candidate or a lawmaker, were to suggest in actuality that the rich pay their fair share, they'd be getting a tax cut.
Well, that's one way of putting it, yes. And of course, there are examples of multimillionaires, even billionaires, paying relatively low tax rates, some of them no taxes at all. Other times, the alternative minimum tax often applies to them, or in order to try and escape that, they end up parking money overseas. There will always be those instances because people with wealth also happen to have the resources to hire very well-priced talent that can keep them from having to pay huge tax burdens. But overall, upper-income earners do haul a great share of the tax load already. That is even true if you start figuring in other taxes than the federal income tax. If you account for payroll and excise taxes at the federal level, like the Congressional Budget Office did, the top fifth of households in terms of cash income pay about a 25% effective tax rate, the bottom fifth less than 5%. So still, the tax system is pretty progressive as is, and it's about to get more so. Whether or not the president's proposals in his jobs bill pass, the health care law that passed in 2010 will soon impose very heavy surtaxes on investment income, as well as a higher tax for Medicare on wealthier earners.
Well, let's dive into that just briefly. In terms of the investment tax, and a lot of folks think that the so-called Buffett tax is really a fancy way of increasing capital gains and dividend taxes, which are currently at 15%, and that's how the president can make the case that Warren Buffett pays taxes at a lower rate than his secretary. What is the general consensus out there on what the hike either in cap gains taxes, if that's in fact what this is, or the millionaire surtax would end up probably being?
Well, we keep hearing about a 5% increase in taxes, or perhaps something that would function like the current alternative minimum tax does, whereby no matter where a millionaire got his or her income from, if it was investments versus wages, he or she would have to pay a certain rate of tax, say 20% instead of the current 15%. Well, again, under the health care bill, come 2013, upper income individuals, and here again we're talking about about earners of $250,000 or more for a couple, $125,000 or more for those who are filing separately, $200,000 for singles. All of them will be paying a new 3.8% surtax on net investment income. So that's already going to drive up the effective capital gains tax rate to 18.8% for some people, again, irrespective of anything else that might pass in the president's current job plan.
Pete, what are you hearing from your members on this?
Well, there's understandably a great deal of concern among our members that, number one, what we're doing here is punishing job creators, sometimes small business owners, often medium-sized business owners, who might otherwise be inclined to put that extra income that they receive back into the business, reinvest it, help to grow it, and grow employment opportunities. But they're also concerned that, well, they start out with millionaires and eventually they come around to the middle class and the upper middle class. That's definitely already a threat with the president's package because, of course, you're not going to raise a great deal of money from any kind of millionaire's tax proposal, and even going after upper income earners won't necessarily erase multi-trillion dollars worth of federal debt that will be accruing over the years ahead. The other problem is there are already middle class tax increases in the president's jobs proposal. That includes new passenger facility charge increases on airline tickets and a new $100 departure tax per aircraft. Those are going to go right directly onto the middle class's shoulders in the form of higher prices for airline tickets. And that's something that's not getting publicized enough in this plan.
Well, Pete, we're going to have to pay $100 for every flight we take off on?
Well, the aircraft charge would be $100, and it would be divided up among the number of passengers on the plane. But when you think about it, that's going to harm a lot of service in small to medium-sized airports where the aircraft might have a few dozen seats on it to start with. The cost is going to be much higher for them than for a jumbo jet, for example, that's paying the same $100. But there will also be that increased passenger facility charge on each ticket. And it's important to remember, airline tickets already carry a double-digit tax burden on them right now.
Yeah, that's certainly true. And a lot of folks are very frustrated with the additions on fuel surcharges, not to mention all the add-ons with bags and all sorts of other service fees. A couple quick questions before we let you go here, Pete. Say the president gets everything he wants here, gets all the rate hikes on upper-income earners, on the millionaire surtax and everything else. How much of a dent would that actually make in our debt?
Well, not much of a dent at all. When you take a look at what the president hopes to raise, of course, he wants to cover most of the cost of the jobs package, some $400 billion over 10 years. But some of these proposals might have more ambitions behind them. Obviously, the taxes triggered by the health care bill, the revenue from those, that's already spoken for to pay for the higher costs of that legislation. Other policies the president has maintained for quite some time, such as allowing the top two tax brackets to return to their pre-2001 levels. Again, that's not necessarily something that was targeted toward the job package. That's a policy the administration has wanted all along. And when we talk about that, it's a tax increase of perhaps $1 trillion over 10 years. It's hard to know, though, whether it would actually raise that much money. It could have the opposite effect in that job creation would be stifled even more than it has, and there might be fewer revenues as upper income earners either shift their cash elsewhere from the United States or they simply can no longer afford the rates at the marginal profits they're making now.
Well, a lot to consider here, and as you mentioned, your members very concerned about what impact this could have on their own personal bottom line as well as their own businesses. Pete, as always, thanks for your insight and your analysis. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Take care.
Peter Sepp is Executive Vice President for the National Taxpayers Union, the largest grassroots taxpayer organization in the country. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.